What? App sprawl? Another breach? CISO saying sayonara to security? All that and more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by MSP GeekCon 2023, a conference for MSPs by MSPs. Occurring May 21st through the 23rd, 2023 in Orlando, Florida, this two-day event is built around the journey of technical growth from Tier 1 to Tier 3. Visit mspgeekcon.com for more information.
Good morning and welcome to the February 24th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm today's co-host, Matt Fox, filling in for Ray Orsini, and I've got the great Tony Francisco with me. How you doing today, Tony?
Excellent, brother. Excellent. This is so weird. So do I call you Ray? Do I call you Matt? Do I call you Rat? Or do I call you May? I'm trying to figure out the hodgepodge of what's going on. I just want to point out, so there's Tony, who got bumped for Mr. Lawrence, and Tony's back, Ray's out.
Bam.
But now we got Matt. So I got to be honest with you. We got to look at the views. Now, it's not fair because Tom Lawrence, he's got like 50 billion followers. So let's pretend that he wasn't there. And then factor in how many new viewers we have with the new audience, for the new viewers looking at the show. You got to substitute weird mix and match because of the host. But Ray is at Ride a Boom, and so is Simon. So yeah, it's good to see.
Ride a Boom. What a fantastic event to be at right now. It's one that I honestly, now that I'm seeing photos of everything that's going on, I wish I was there. There are a lot of great shows
there.
I can't wait to get to the next conference that I'm scheduled to go to in May. I'll be at MSP GeekCon, and I hope that everyone watching this is going to be too. Nice. Just going to throw it out there because I'm on here. Why not do a little promotion, right? Ray and I are going to be doing a pre-day at MSP GeekCon where we're going to be doing what we call boarding school. Now, you know, keyboards, that's one of the things I love you as a hobby. And we're going to be talking a little about the different kinds, how they help you with respect to the type of work that you do and ergonomics. And I'm talking like, you know, funky guys like this Lily 58 that I just built recently. So I'm really excited about that. And like I said, Rite of Boom's going on right now. Ray and some of the team are over there. But I will be at MSP GeekCon. I hope to see everyone there. So buy some tickets now.
Yes. Okay. And you know what we need to do? We news? Need to get to the news. Yes. Let's do it. Straight into my first story from darkreading.com. Why are my employees integrating so many unsanctioned SaaS apps? Before adopting SaaS apps, companies should really get some security guardrails up and running to vet new vendors and check security integrations for security risks. In the latest Zoom application update, it quietly added a quick side link to the App Store, and no one even noticed. This feature enables any business user within your organization to integrate the software as a service apps showcased in the sidebar with just the click of a button. While this process may be convenient and conducive to business, by design, it also bypasses several security processes. Matt, I've got some questions for you on this one because I have been a big fan of you either have simple or secure. You can't have both. There are some very, very few applications that bridge that. But in this case, this is a perfect, perfect calcification of I'll call it a pillar in the security world. You have simple or secure. In this case, super simple, secure. Poof, like that. Do you consider this an issue? You come from the MSP world. What are your thoughts on this?
I come from the MSP world. I come from 23 years of working in IT. And something like this bothers me very much. And as I was looking at the story earlier, before we were talking about it just now, the word that came to mind for me was sprawl. This feels like something that's going to increase problems around application and cloud sprawl within organizations. And the more unsanctioned applications you have running, the more risks you have running, the more attack vectors that exist. And the worst part of it is that you don't know they're there. and you can't protect what you don't know exists. And in this case, it's mostly things that you don't want to have exist, that you don't want on your network because they're unsanctioned in the first place. And the thought that they may be floating around out there on your network without any level of visibility is a very scary thought.
So if we want something that's out of the box ready, and this is something that allows people to self-actuate in the business community to do what is needed and do it fast, so it is, as I mentioned, conducive to business, without having to go through the service change ad, and by the time the service change is submitted and reviewed and approved, poof, there goes the business opportunity. So we have this self-actuating massive security loophole. And so which do you choose? What is there a way around this? Or is this something we're going to continue to live with? Is this the shadow IT that we've discussed for so long, Jay McBain came up with so long ago? What are your thoughts on that?
I think that this is a form of shadow IT, but it's not an intentional form of shadow IT. It's not an employee saying, I don't have a resource I need to get my job done, so I'm going to bring it in on my own. It's having a resource that may be used in your workplace that all of a sudden presents all of these brand new and exciting options to you that may or may not be useful in the first place. I would much prefer not to see something like this at all.
Oh, wait, are you suggesting that people are just adding things just to add them?
I do it all the time. Every time I get a burger.
Everyone does it.
Every time I go to get a burger. Hey, add bacon on that for me, please. I know it's not on it by default, but I want you to put it on for me.
I want to try it out.
You know?
Wait, you have a new plugin that does something weird and adds a little happy face over the eye as the dot?
I'm gotta have it. That. Gotta have it. But at the on the other side of this is you have to question whether or not small businesses are speaking with their teams that are doing the work and making sure that they have the resources that they need. I firmly believe that if the resources you need are in front of you to get your job done properly, you're not going to be looking for the alternatives. You can put 50 options in front of me, but if the one I have takes care of what I need to do, looking at those icons, those little flashy things, they're a waste of my time. They're going to prevent me from getting the job done. Therefore, they don't need to be in front of me. So I think there's a mix here. I think there's a mix of course, security versus simplicity, but also ensuring a small business has the resources that they need, that their team members need to be able to get their job done. Because once that exists, I think a lot of these problems just kind of disappear.
I'm going to throw in there that I believe that your opinion is not just valid. It is absolutely true, but it is also based on experience and the inexperienced people that have not tried all the cool emoji add-ons.
The temptation is there for them.
They don't understand what is value and what isn't value. Mm-hmm. And there are some subtleties, the connective tissue, that can allow you to be more efficient, and you don't know until you know. And experimentation is a huge, huge part of that process. And unfortunately, clearly opens up a security risk, but
we all got to dip our toes. We all got to dip our toes in the pool. We just want to make sure we don't get bitten by a shark when we do so.
Ah, man. Well, it's funny because if you do get bit by a shark, then you're probably going to get let go, and there's probably going to be a notification that, hey, you got let go, because notifications are important, especially if something goes wrong. Yeah. What about your next story?
Yeah, notifications are a great thing. Unfortunately, Activision did not notify employees of a data breach for months. Written by Lorenzo at TechCrunch, Activision, the video game giant behind games like COD and World of Warcraft, was hacked back on December 4th, 2022. It's about 10 weeks ago. However, the company did not announce the breach until last weekend after a cybersecurity and malware research group posted screenshots of the stolen data and the hackers' messages in Activision's internal Slack on Twitter. What's more concerning is that as of the time this was reported, Activision had not informed its employees about the breach and whether or not their personal information was compromised. According to their spokesperson, Joseph Christianot, there are no requirements for a company to notify when there is no evidence of sensitive data access. Now, to me, this is a scary story because we're talking about a span of 10 weeks. And over those 10 weeks, had if this information was leaked, that's 10 weeks without these employees knowing that their personal information is floating out there on the internet. That is a long period of time to not know that your information could be used for a number of reasons. Tony, how are you feeling about this now that you've heard about the story?
I'm feeling more comfortable with my level of moral flexibility. it's concerning. It's very concerning. And communication is key. I'm of the opinion that if you have uncovered a hack, congratulations, you uncovered one of the avenues for them to penetrate your system in some capacity. As a previous, we'll call it industry individual, I would always have a secondary to tertiary port available. Tertiary usually being something that happened about every 3 weeks or in a very a random cadence occurrence that I can, you know, reverse SSH it back into and come back at any point in time. So if they found one, there was probably many, or at least in the process of establishing additional, we'll call it nesting environments. If they announced at that time, listen, we have been hacked. Everybody needs to be diligent. We need security protocols, not just re-implemented, reinforced, but also everyone needs to check and double check everything. Maybe they would have closed up those potential opportunities as peripheral opportunities for the hackers to come back in, creating a secondary tertiary port. So I don't know if this is going to be the end of it, but it sounds like the lack of communication could be more harmful than the hack itself, because now we're just going to have a rinse and repeat scenario. I don't know. Maybe I'm unpacking this a little bit too much.
No, I think that as an individual who's curious about the internal operations of other organizations, I'd say that, yeah, when something like this happens, often you put in a back door, you put in a side door, you get your attic access, you get your whatever the thing is that you have to have to the basement for in case there's a fire, there's like that causeway or whatever it's called. You put all those in place to make sure that you have access guaranteed. And you know, the thought of that and the idea of this being 10 weeks of this having occurred, it's scary. And you're right. When something like this happens, you have to react in a way that's appropriate. And from my point of view, that's where the term "due care" comes into place. As someone who's owned businesses in the past and someone who's worked with teams, when something goes wrong, you do the right thing and you do it as soon as possible to minimize damage. Now, another angle to this with regards to damage is employees' confidence in the company. Hey, you waited 10 weeks to tell me something may have happened with my data? Well, I'm sorry, trust has been broken. And
you nailed that one. That lack of communication is hardly a recipe for high morale or high, extended retention, employee retention.
Maybe, you know, people that were thinking about a career change or looking for something new, or maybe greener pastures are going to get that push, you know, through this instance, because 10 weeks of past an event that where your information has been as potentially compromised is just a nightmare fuel, in my opinion.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to hear from the MSP world. In the event of a hack, how long do you take to communicate this? Is it difficult to push your customer to make that communication? And we're talking about anything, everything from, hey, we have an exposed email address and password that was maybe to an Office 365 environment, maybe a floating VPN license that was logged in unauthorized, we don't know what data was accessed. Is that breach being announced out there? How long does that take? Do you do it at all? Are your customers receptive to it? I'm really interested in this because we have so many members in our community that have so many different communication and security policies, and the protocols are going to vary, which ironically comes full circle back to moral flexibility. but also, let's just be blunt, ego. You don't want your name to be trashed with the association of a hack. I wonder how the MSP is are handling that.
I'd love to know how the MSPs are handling it. And I think that a great place for us to learn about that is our Discord. What do you think about that? I think if you're watching this, you got to go to MSP GeekCon. You got to check out our Discord. And you know what else? You were talking about wanting feedback from the community. I'd love to specifically hear from CISOs. And, you know, from what I understand, 25% of CISOs, they're looking to say goodbye to something. You know anything about that?
Thanks to burnout and stress, Gartner predicts churn and even departure among half of today's security leaders by 2025. Enterprises can expect to see some pretty dramatic turn in their cybersecurity departments in the next 2 years if they're not proactive about countering security burnout. Even more startling, the analyst firm predicts that 1 in 4 leaders will exit the security stage completely. Per last year's estimates, there's currently a shortfall of 3.4 million cybersecurity experts. Even as other jobs in the tech industry begin to evaporate in the face of tech sector layoffs, cybersecurity appears to be immune to this. The Magnet, a publication, report showed that 64% of those workers cited alert fatigue as playing a role to the burnout. However, the news that 1 in 4 CSOs will leave their profession altogether hints at even deeper issues. One of the big factors that could have CSOs reconsidering their career in cybersecurity is the fear of what will happen to their professional reputation if their company gets breached. Matt, we just talked about this, and I don't know what to say. I would love to say that success is not linear. There are some steps, but in the world of cybersecurity, if you are hit, maybe one of those steps is a pitfall. At least that's the fear.
Going down to the pit of alligators.
Oh, that was good. Like, speaking of Activision from an earlier story.
Pitfall, that was so good, Matt. Good one. I understand this. I empathize with it. I have a lot of friends who are in security now or were in security a number of years ago and have moved on to other careers because of this. Just hearing you say the term alert burnout gave me chills, because that's one of the things I don't miss from my former career of hands-on IT work. I don't miss the alerts coming on into the phone and having that like boop boop, whatever it is, and then the feeling in the pit of your stomach that automatically happens when you have that, because you want to see, was that a text message from a friend? Was that an alert for an online order, or did my network just get breached?
Yeah, and when your boss sends you an email or the owner of the company. Now, unfortunately, I was the owner I'm constantly, and I stay away from text, but I constantly am emailing you at 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning because I'm just a night owl. And it terrified people. So I had to let people know, do not reply in the middle of the night. There's a major issue, I will call you. I will text you. I will come over and knock on your door.
I will raise a legitimate alarm. Is really what we're getting at.
I will hack your neighbor's house, have them alerted to come over and wake you up because there's a major issue. But those alerts coming up all the time of, you know, hey, we have a hard drive failure. So we have racks and racks and racks of the Microsoft Exchange servers. And hard drive failures were literally every day, but those were critical. And so when one of those failed, it was critical alert. So every day you get a critical alert. But then you become anesthetized to it and you almost become comfortably numb in a weird way. But when you realize that you are at a level of anxiety that is so high, it's off the scale of normal. Mm-hmm. And the only reason you realize that is because you take another job. It is fascinating. But now you're always at that other job. You're always in fifth gear, and you're in a cruise control at fifth gear, and everyone's like, how are you doing it? Oh, you don't know what my other job was like that. I'm on the beach in Fiji right now compared to what I was doing. So I'm kind of curious, since that is the everyday of like DevOps and network admins today, CISOs are kind of the, hey, everyone is absolutely going to attack you. How do you mentally maintain that pace? I mean, is there a responsibility for the organization to shield these people? Is there a mental health program? Do you have load balanced CISOs? What is the solution?
First of all, I love the fact that you just said load balanced CISOs. Like in my head, I'm like, whoa, okay, so now what we got to do is we got to get like 7 CISOs up in this company and we're just going to round robin them. That's what we're going to do. You know, we're going to wait till they hit one stress level. We're going to send that one off vacation, bring the next one in. And all of a sudden, well, here's the thing, because that gets scary, because all of a sudden now we're looking in my head, like a visualization of a factory line. You have input, you have output, goes out the back, something new comes in. And I'm afraid that over time, if we were to take a step back and look at how these positions are filled and then vacated, we're going to be seeing a pattern like that. And I do think it's going to be very much related to mental health and stress management. And I do strongly believe that this is the type of position that does require extra support. And given that their position is so incredibly vital to an organization should definitely be there for them. No question.
I would love to hear from the MSPs because you have to have some security personnel in charge. What are you doing to manage these individuals? Are you load balancing? Do you have Nagios, whatever the pronunciation is?
Nagios
for every one of your security experts to see if there's an alert, a mental health alert that maybe you should offload them for a little bit.
Like ICMP packets bouncing back and forth.
You're catching the traps.
That guy's got too much lag on him. We got to take him out for a little bit.
We gotta power cycle this guy.
Yeah, but then they're gonna have solutions where all of a sudden they're gonna full duplex a CISO and all of a sudden give them another year before it completely burns out. So that's scary.
I am very interested from the MSP community, but I mean, at the end of the day, outages are horrible, and you're constantly being attacked by these internal mechanisms that are failing, external forces consciously attacking you at all points. That's a whole nother level. I'm interested from the MSP community, how are you addressing your security experts? Because again, outages are bad, but ironically, we're going to get to the next story, which is about outages in your notables.
In my first notable mention, Google resolves a 10-hour issue that prevented Gmail from syncing with Outlook, written by Mitchell Clark for The Verge. Now, Google has resolved this issue that existed for 10 hours that prevented Gmail from syncing with Microsoft servers, causing an outage that prevented users from receiving new emails. 10 hours without email, I'm not sure if that's a beautiful thing or an absolute nightmare. Google said the problem began around noon Eastern on Wednesday and resolved around 9:57 the same day. So yeah, it's about 10 hours. The outage affected all device platforms and users accessing their Outlook or Hotmail inbox via the Gmail app would only see old emails or an error message. The Outlook Twitter account initially denied any issues, but Google said the problem was with Microsoft's IMAP service, which had failed to sync with other large mail providers. In my next notable, Google paid $12 million in bug bounties to security researchers, written by Ionat Ilascu for Bleeping Computer. Now, yeah, $12 million were paid to security researchers through Vulnerability Reward Program for reporting more than 2,900 vulnerabilities in its products. Now, the largest payout that they had was over $600,000 for an Android chain exploit. I mean, that's a lot of junior bacon cheeseburgers, right? You know, the company also paid almost $5 million, to be a little more precise, $4.8 million, for hundreds of Android bugs and $4 million for vulnerabilities in Chrome browser and Chrome OS. Along with bug bounties, more than $250,000 in grants were awarded by Google to over 170 researchers who monitor the products and services that are offered by the company. In addition, the NahamCon and BountyCon security conferences in 2022 were sponsored by the tech giant. I think this is fantastic.
And in my notable mentions, Dole Food Company is suffering from a ransomware attack, and it is impacting the operations. From bleepingcomputer.com, Dole Food Company, one of the world's largest producers and distributors of fresh fruits and vegetables, has announced that it's dealing with a ransomware attack and operations are being impacted. There are very few details at the moment, and the company is currently investigating the, quote, scope of the incident, noting the impact is limited. Although Dole characterized the impact as limited, a memo leaked in Facebook by a Texan grocery store indicates that the food giant was forced to shut down its operations and plants in North America. And in my second notable mention, Windows 11 KB5022905 preview update has been released with 13 changes. From bleepingcomputer.com, Microsoft has released the February 2023 optional cumulative updates for all editions of Windows 11, 22H2, and all supported Windows 10 versions. The KB5022905, Windows non-security release, comes with 13 bug fixes and enhancements, including an advanced auto-learning feature for facial recognition and fixing an IE mode issue where the text on the status bar was not always visible. KB5022905 is a monthly C update designed to help Windows admins test fixes and improvements that will roll out to all users with the March 2023 Patch Tuesday.
Good morning, y'all. I'm Phil Buck, and in today's AI Roundup segment, we're going to be talking about how AI is affecting the music industry. And thankfully, no, we're not going to be talking about AI-generated music. In an article from The Verge by Jess Weatherbed and James Vincent, on Wednesday, Spotify announced the beta for a new feature called DJ, which uses an AI to host a personalized radio station based on your listening habits. But not only that, this station comes with its very own AI DJ, who commentates on the song choices and the inspirations for playing them.
Hey Max, what's going on? I'm X, and from this moment on, I'm going to be your own personal AI DJ on Spotify.
The voice of the DJ is powered by voice tech from Sonantic AI, a startup that was acquired by Spotify in 2022, and the voice is replicated from former Spotify exec Xavier X. Jernigan, who now hosts the platform's podcast, The Get Up. Spotify reports that this is just the first model for DJ, implying that other voice models are to come. The beta version of this feature is available in English for premium Spotify subscribers in the US and Canada. To try it out for yourself, open up your mobile app and click on the music feed in your homepage.
Up next, a blast from the past. Some music you were into back in 2020, starting with something from Juicy May.
This has been your AI Roundup segment for today. I'm Phil Buck for the MSP Media Network. Now back to Tony and Matt in the studio. There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening next week. On February 27th through March 2nd, an in-person event, NerdioCon in Cancun, Mexico. On February 28th at 1 p.m. Eastern, Creds and the Kill Chain webinar presented by SaaS Alert. And on March 1st at noon Eastern Time, Build It Better discussion presented by Everything MSP. And coming from the MSP Media Network next week, we have, on March 2nd at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, the Tech Bar Podcast, Episode 53, with Paco LeBron and Rick Smith of MSP Unplugged. On March 3rd at 5 p.m., 38 to 38, Episode 10, with Matthew F. Fox. And as always, on Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern, MSP Dispatch, presented by the MSP Media Network.
Hey, I'm Powerhouse Ray.
And I'm Super Cousin Danny.
And we're the hosts of
The Tech Bar.
Pull up a stool with us every other Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern for drinks, jokes, and games with your friends in the MSP channel.
All right, folks, what'd you think of today's show? If you liked it, go ahead and hit that like button on your screen. If you didn't like it so much, hit it like 3, 5, 7, 9, however many times you want. And in fact, after you go ahead and like that button, come over to our Discord and talk to us a little bit. Let us know what you think about the show, what you'd like to see us put together with Tony and the rest of the crew, what guests you'd like to have us join, what topics you'd like for us to talk about. Let us know. Join the Discord. Let's get into a conversation together. And also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. If you have any questions whatsoever, please email us at news@mspmedia.tv for answers, for everything for the next episode. And here's the good one. Always love a good golden number. You could always leave us a phone, a voicemail at 833-MSP-NETWORK. That's 833-MSP-NETWORK. Oh, that was good. Anyway, I hope you guys have a great day. Tony, it was an absolute pleasure being here with you in Ray's absence as he's at Right of Boom. I love being behind the scenes. It's fun to come out in front of the camera every now and then. Maybe we'll get to do this again soon, my friend.
Awesome, awesome, awesome seeing you in front of the camera. I think we ran out of footage from the amount of takes. If you're bored with this episode, go watch about 4 more versions of this episode in the bloopers after this. I'm just kidding. Always good seeing you, Matt, and seeing you in front of the camera this time. To everyone out there, please be safe. Update your security patches and all of your stuff and be vigilant.
It doesn't even matter. It's not Tuesday.
See you
all. Have a good one. Care.
been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
All right. And I'll just pretend to be like literally Ray here for a second. me. Okay, I feel much better now. CISO saying sayonara to security? These stories and much more on today's episode of Ray's Dispatch. Boom. What the app sprawl?
You could have been dolphins in the first three words.
CISOs are saying sayonara to security? Holy shit, I can't even say that and more on today's episode of Dispatch.
That'll be a great blooper. Let's just keep that at the end of the show.
The entire, hey, you guys ever heard me speak dolphin before? That means I'm not a big fan of Subway sandwiches.
I'm glad that the viewers could see me on the screen actively reacting to all the work that you guys make me do in the background.
Good morning, and welcome to the February 24th edition of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel, as well as the premier source of guidance for when you're on mute. My name's Matt Fox. I'm stepping in for...
What is happening? It's right now. You are a sumo on rollerblades.
This is what happens when I'm unprepared. I didn't know I was going to do this until like 2 o'clock.
Perfect. Perfect.
All right. Hey, what's more concerning is that as of the time this is was. What's more concerning is that as the time, I could go for a Snickers right now.
Even more startling, the analysts prefer more. Even more startling. This is a word. Hold on. This is a drink tool.
I got to tell you, that was excellent because it was like prefer, but then it became like this. It was like a tugboat sound. I liked it.
although Dole is characterized. That's like toy boat. Say toy boat 5 times really fast. Okay.
The Outlook Twitter account finally Okay, hold on. The Outlook Twitter. I'm getting less and less words every time. I'm going to be giving negative words in a second.
You're good.
All right. I did the exact same thing this morning.
If it makes you feel any better, I had plenty of these. So Ray told me last week when we do the, you're muted, Matt. Ray said just do the AI roundup in post because I've already put that together. So we
can get back to how well he sat in Ray's chair, which is. It was just beautiful. Like it, you don't understand. Like this is kind of awkward for me, but you doing that made me feel at home. Yes,
exactly. I still can't hear you.
Exactly. He's still homing. He doesn't. I don't
know. Oh, maybe this is good now that he's mute.
No,
exactly. Matt gets worked up. It's like a little scary. The voice of the DJ is powered by tech. The voice of the gotta stop laughing.